KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me is...
Caleb.
Wow, you sound really different, Caleb.
It's because I'm not Caleb, I'm Jason.
Oh, man. How I could...
I almost tricked you, I could tell.
You almost did, because you guys look so much alike.
Oh, yes, you were looking at me. Okay. There was a flaw in my plan.
Oh, well. At least you had a plan.
Yes.
More than just winging it, I guess.
Definitely. Yeah. It's at least twice as much.
Because it's, you know, the knowing is half the battle, but,
yeah,
you know, the planning part
is
helps.
Another third, I think. And I'm not good with adding fractions. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to stop while I'm ahead.
Probably
on
best.
That,
yeah. So. It's probably best we ignore math.
Yeah.
Especially since Caleb isn't here.
Right. Sort of the star at it.
So how have you been?
I've been doing pretty good. I've been throwing down the games like the normal. Been revisiting some of the older ones. And
anything in particular?
I think you've seen about half of the stuff that I've been doing just by being on feeds and whatnot. But
yeah, but I'm not the audience.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Like, I'm not... I may know, but the audience out there listening doesn't
that is,
know.
That is true.
So.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Destiny for the most part, and...
Oh, okay.
When I'm...
Some new stuff.
When I'm gaming with friends, I game with DOA plus extra stuff. Whatever the newest version is.
Oh, okay. There's new Destiny stuff dropping pretty soon, right? This month sometime?
Yeah, it's coming out pretty soon. A lot of people are still pretty crushed that they're not going to get their another raid out
of
the deal.
That's right. But some other new kind of mode or something?
Yeah,
or?
That they haven't quite fleshed out. They've been talking about a lot of the other things that are going to come with this. It seems like they're kind of going back to old school patching in a weird sort of way. They're bundling everything together into this new DLC drop.
Okay.
And so they're changing the way a lot of the like items and equipment can be used and traded around. It sounds like they're planning a lot of interesting things, so I'm looking forward to it quite a bit.
Okay.
Especially all of the stuff on the reef. They're going to add a whole nother zone that's like an extra community area.
Okay.
That's for trading and that area's currencies and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
And trying to get people together for the special modes and whatnot in that area.
Now, the stuff that was exclusive to PlayStation 4, or PlayStation, I should say, last year, has that been dropped or mentioned, like, when that's going to...
Best I understood, that wasn't going to actually drop for, like, a year. They got
oh, okay.
it for
so
a
it's
long
still,
time.
Still a few
so,
more months.
Yeah, I'm not going to see the original stuff for quite a while yet, which... is kind of disappointing, but it's funny, like, a lot of the people who are complaining about the raids, that's half of it right there, because half
okay.
the raids went to all the PlayStation people, so.
Okay.
But if you were one of the PlayStation people to begin with, hey, you have
there
all the
you
raids. You have nothing to complain about.
It's true.
With the House of Wolves drop.
Yeah, I've seen, like, little articles here and there, stuff about like Osiris or something like that, or
well, there's two different ones, and I always get them confused, to be honest. So the best, okay, Trials of Osiris. I have no idea if it's the one that I'm thinking of or not.
Okay.
But anyway, the one that I do know about is that they're changing things up to make a multiplayer mode that's a little bit better adapted to how Destiny plays in the first place. It's puts a little bit more stress on team play and so on. And, like just about everything in multiplayer, you can compare it pretty directly to something that's already dropped in some other game. This is kind of search and destroy, except turned into team deathmatch, is the easiest way to do it, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, the extra thing that they added though is that you can wake people up, like if they get knocked out.
Okay.
So it makes it a little bit more interesting, it looks like, and it definitely stresses you actually working with your teammates a lot more.
Oh,
so,
okay. I'm just going lone wolf.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that one quite a bit, just to see how things kind of shift around. And I slacked off for a long time, mostly because of the same thing that you were talking about, how the DLC drops were like about half as cool for the Xbox. So I put off buying the Crota DLC for a long time.
Oh, okay.
And so I just picked it up in the last month or two, and so I've been messing around with that.
Oh,
and
okay.
Playing, I messed around with the multiplayer maps for the first time this weekend, and I was really happy with them, actually. I'm not sure I saw all of them, but the ones that I did play. They have one that's actually like deep underground on the moon that I think is awesome, just because if you've played the game, like a lot of the crypts that they have kind of burrowed into the moon, this really cool gothic look to them, and like bones strewn all over the place, and kind of weird glowing crystals that exist for no other reason than to provide light, as far as we can tell, until we find out that they have some evil use or something.
Of course.
But until then, they're just glowy crystals. Which doesn't sound like I'm selling it very well, but I mean, dark, dramatic crystals.
So there we go. There
of
we go.
Doom.
Of, oh, okay, of doom.
Seeking.
Okay. Oh.
Or soothsaying. Or
something.
Other things.
Hopefully. They get
drama.
Yeah, it's just, it's drama.
Right.
That's just what you're trying to get across.
Right. I try and inject the drama into Destiny as much as possible.
D, Destiny, D for that's, drama.
That's true. Right, they should play that up more
often.
And they need to take the drama back from, what is it, TNT or TLC, TBS?
Yeah, I think it's TNT knows drama, and I think it's USA that knows characters or something like that. They're like, we know this, they know that.
Between the two of them, that's a lot of knowledge.
Yeah,
so
it is. Speaking of some knowledge,
yes.
If you're interested in free radio time, KSU loves to broadcast announcements about local nonprofits and government agencies. You can email traffic@ksu.org with information on services or upcoming events. We will consider making an announcement for your organization. So those are some games you played.
Yes.
Have you watched? Have you? I think the last time Ron talked a little bit about Daredevil, and I know Caleb has watched a few episodes of that.
Right.
Have you finished the?
I finished it off. Have you? Or
no? I'm
oh, okay.
I told Caleb, I think it was last week or sometime, but I wanted to finish. I finished the second season of Arrow because it was on Netflix.
Right, right.
And then I wanted to finish the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because on Netflix. So when I finish that, I have like three more episodes I think left. Then I'll jump into Daredevil. Like I wanted to finish stuff off first before starting a whole nother series.
Did you try any of Daredevil at all?
Not yet. Okay. Not yet.
Yeah, it's funny. Like the longer I think about that, the more sort of mixed feelings I have about it. It's like a really well done show, and it's a lot of stuff that's kind of I don't know. It's probably more specific to somebody like me than than a lot of people. But yeah, it's still a very solid series. I'm very happy with it.
Yeah. I still look forward to checking it out. And then sort of along those lines, I know on Friday for myself, I ended up seeing Age of Ultron like in the morning.
And I ended up missing it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm going to say sort of last minute plans were to go see it, mostly because I ended up seeing the plans on my phone kind of last minute.
Oh, okay.
And so I was kind of running to get over there on time. And I sort of joked a little bit later about it that normally my procrastination is rewarded. Like, it probably shouldn't be, but it normally is.
Uh-huh.
This time it sounds like I got there just perfectly on time to not have any access to the tickets for that showing. So all friends were already in the show and got there, and it was completely sold out.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't, okay. I didn't think about it until later. I should have totally just like, well, what else is playing right now? And bought a ticket since I already had a seat reserved for me.
Oh, okay.
So I felt kind of lame after that. It's like, I usually pride myself of being like halfway clever, but yeah, that was definitely a failing on my part. So yeah, I ended up missing it, and I toyed around with the idea of trying to catch it as a matinee, like right after work today.
Oh, okay.
But I still had to prep for the show and so on, so there was just no way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's wild. I'm surprised that it was sold out. I mean, it's so many like showings of it at places. I'm just shocked.
I don't even know, I wasn't paying good enough attention of which version it was that we were trying to get into. I was just looking for the actual showtime on the computer.
Okay.
And
so if it
when
was
it wasn't showing up on the computer screen, I was thinking I was going nuts just because I was like missing it somehow on the computer screen. So I finally go up to the ticket counter, and yeah, they were the ones that broke the sad, sad news to me about the lack of Ultron at that particular time.
Well, I know, I mean, at some point we were going to do, around a water cooler or something, episode on it.
Yeah.
Maybe some other stuff too, by the time we get to it, but okay. Yeah. And then, but
yeah, I think there's plans to do that relatively soon. So hopefully we'll be able to get something that like that to people in the near future.
Yeah.
And nice. That'll be chock full of spoilers. So
yeah.
it's better for non-airtime of stuff.
It's like, no, I can't change it. I don't want to hear stuff.
Since right.
It just come out. So
yeah.
But I did also, I picked up the State of Decay Year One Survival Edition.
Right. I meant to ask you about that.
And I'd only played the demo of the regular State of Decay that dropped on the 360.
Same here. And it was a good sized demo.
Yeah.
Seemed like there was a lot of stuff to do.
And so I enjoyed that, but never ended up, picking it up.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I heard this version was coming about, I was like, oh, okay, this sounds cool because it'll have all the DLC. It's
right.
1080p and 60 frame, all the
right.
up stuff. So I figured, I'll get that when that drops. That'll be a good one to stream also.
Right.
So, I'm enjoying it. And I'd say the only thing so far that takes a bit getting used to is they throw a bunch of missions at you.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, you only have a certain amount of time to do a lot of them. And since the game is, You control, you start off controlling one guy.
Right.
But then as you, build morale with other people and that you're other survivors and stuff, you can switch.
Take over their mind, sort of.
I mean, you can basically play as them. You can switch.
Right.
You can switch characters. So, but if people don't like you, if you're not doing anything, to help the group or anything, morale starts to get really bad, you can not be unable to switch to people, And how that is bad is, like, your characters that you play over time, they get tired or they can get hurt, and they'll require, like, I need to rest or I need to do this. And, like, you can't if you can't switch to anyone. So
that's a lot of reality for a game.
Yeah, and it's permadeath. So if someone dies, they're dead. So it can be difficult at first, like, just getting all these things, like, hey, could you go and do this? Like, we really need this. Like, oh, this person's kind of freaking out. Could you talk to them? I'm like, I'm trying to go find materials so we can build this thing so I can build bunk beds so everybody has a bed. Okay, I need to go now and get food. Ah, our food is spoiling. We need to build this. So I need more materials to go get this. Like,
so is it like a percentage of the stuff, or can you tell how quickly do they go and get angry at you?
It's like there is sort. There's a little, like, I think it's like a smiley face.
Oh, okay.
That like kind of represents morale, and there's like a number.
Okay.
And so if it gets low, like, it'll start to tell you, like, morale. Everyone's afraid. People are angry. People are mad. Like, okay. And so when you go and bring stuff back or go and do things, like, you'll up, like, morale or ammunition or materials or this, you know. And as you build those up, you can start to build things. And then at a certain point, you'll need to expand your home base, like, find another spot, because the first place you find is this church.
Right.
And at a certain point, it's just like, it's not big enough. You need to move.
Okay.
And what's cool is, like, you can clear out locations and you can turn them into outposts. So you can kind of start to spread your kind of base out a little bit, and so you can start to, like, I recently moved into another base, and zombies and hordes kept coming at me, and it was like, I'm trying to get this thing established and get things going, and it was a pain in the butt. But then once I started branching out a little bit, like, with outposts with these surrounding houses, the sort of your home base area kind of opened up a little bit, and you could start to set traps, and things kind of calm down a little bit. I was like, okay, I can focus on missions and not have to, like, worry about, hey, we're being attacked by a horde of zombies, like, every 3 minutes or something. And so it's a frustrating game. Like, it can be a frustrating game, but it's sort of rewarding, like, if you still kind of like those challenges and like that type of game. I think it's a lot of fun. I mean, it has a little hiccups here and there. Like, once I was driving, and I don't know what happened. There was just some glitch, and my car just immediately flipped over. And my guy, like, popped out of it. I was like, whoa, what the heck happened?
You hit that car flip button.
Yeah.
Okay.
I must have, but
they,
yeah.
They really need to put that in a safer spot, that button.
I agree, because it seemed to be really easy to hit whatever button that was.
It's like right there on the dash, and you're always curious about it. It's like, does it really work?
Does it really flip it, or is
people say it does?
Yeah,
but I don't know. It looks like a warning signal to me.
Yeah, maybe it just bounces, like,
right,
those cars.
Exactly. Bounce,
you know?
Yeah, maybe
that'd be fun.
How they do the 16 switches number.
Possible.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's mostly what I've been playing.
Okay.
Played a little bit more of Advanced Warfare.
Oh,
which supposedly they're adding a revolver for everyone tomorrow.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool, and I guess it'll have, you know, a bunch of different variants to it, like that,
right,
you know,
right,
that game's introduced all those different variants and stuff like that.
Yeah, that ought to be nice. Like, they always they had sort of like a weird target shooting pistol.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it does some damage, but yeah, it's like insane trying to hit people with the thing.
Yeah, and then if you miss, you're like, reload.
Right.
Only one shot.
Right, I mean, like, a regular target shooting pistol is easier to reload than this thing, which supposedly was built for the military. So,
but it's the future gun,
right,
or something.
Well,
so,
yeah,
you know,
all of the high tech,
yeah,
makes things more difficult.
Yeah,
and I'm sure it's like a rail gun or something like that.
I think like so. I think that's what it's supposed to be.
A handrail.
Handrail cannon gun.
It doesn't sound as impressive calling it the handrail.
No.
Although handrails are safe, and it would make you feel like you're holding on to something.
That's true.
Yeah.
You feel safe when you're holding this thing.
Right.
Just don't
Except
miss.
That I don't. I usually take two shots, kill anything in a game like that.
Yeah.
No matter what type of gun it is.
But speaking of Call of Duty.
Yes.
They did, I think it was a couple weeks ago, they finally dropped some information on Black Ops 3.
Yeah.
Like revealing what, you know, because the kind of the big talk was once Advanced Warfare dropped, it was like, whoa, okay, this is, you know, adding the XO suit thing.
Yeah.
Like, what's the next Call of Duty going to be? Are they going to go back? Is it going to have to, you know?
Yeah, and it looks like they've done some pretty interesting things and stuff that I'm really looking forward to messing around with. I've heard a fair number of the kind of big game first person shooter like video podcasting people.
Mm.
They got early access to it to mess around with it.
Oh, okay.
Just so they could go out and preach the goodness of Black Ops 3.
Uh-huh.
And it sounds like the biggest thing that they tried to do was switch from stressing verticality to more ease and speed with moving quickly horizontally. And there's still more verticality than the original games.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have freaking robot legs. But
yeah.
But at the same time, it seems to be stressed more on, like, Prince of Persia-style moves and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It would be a little bit easier if you had some tech actually helping you out and
instead
of being some prince with magical powers or something like that.
Yeah, and it looks basically like it doesn't have an exosuit, but it's basically you're the exosuit in a sense.
Right.
Like, instead of having this machine, you know, on you that helps you do stuff, it's like you're basically augmenting yourself.
Yeah. It's so, Deus Ex or Ghost in the Shell
yeah.
type of stuff. And I was really confused when there was like, I don't know, maybe this is just in the areas of the internet that I cast my eyes into, but there was a big backlash against it in the stuff that I saw, that it was like, oh, I can't believe they're going into like cyberpunk stuff.
Oh,
how dare they violate the holy ground that is Deus Ex? It's like, really? Have you played through Deus Ex? Was that really like the best game of all time? It had some pretty cool stuff in it, but I'm not quite sure, sold that it was nearly AAA.
Yeah.
It was nearly. There was a lot of dropped balls in that, in my view.
Yeah. But yeah, this one, like, when I was looking over stuff, it was interesting. Like, they're, for one, I heard, okay, so the campaign is going to be 4-player campaign.
Okay.
Like, and then that the multiplayer, this is where it was interesting. It was like you're selecting characters.
Yeah, and
you can still customize them, but there's certain, like, stuff that's specific to a character. Like,
I got kind of confused on that because it sounds, I heard that they were stressing it, the different first person shooter gamers, they were talking about that a lot more in the zombies mode, that instead of it being like you just given randomly a character, you choose a character that is like a certain type of Spec Ops type person.
Yeah.
And so that fit with that like really well, but I'm not sure how it functions as far as the normal gameplay like multiplayer goes, just because I haven't heard anybody talk about it anywhere near as much, but I've heard the same stuff that it sounds like they're hinting that that's going to be the way that functions. So
okay, yeah, because the stuff I read was like the characters have like a special power or a special weapon, and during the match,
okay,
you select one of those and you can't change them when you die. Like, you can only change them at the beginning of a new match. So it forces you to select one and stick with that.
Huh.
And I mean, it sounds like it'll still have all the perks and stuff like that. It's just there's like 9 characters. They've revealed 4 of them.
Okay.
And like, if you've watched the trailer,
it sounds kind of Evolve-ish, you know?
Yeah. The one article I read, he kind of compared it. He mentioned like, the MOBA player and me got a little bit excited about this because it's like,
I can see that.
You're selecting a character instead of just a name. Because that
it'll be a lot bigger deal with the DLC drops for new characters, too.
Yeah, because it sounded like the things they wanted to stress or to address was like the thing you mentioned about the movement,
mm-hmm.
and something like they referred to as like gun up, I think, or something like that, where it was,
yes.
they wanted you to be able to use your weapon
pretty
fluidly
much nonstop.
And nonstop, even while doing all of these movements. Otherwise, it would be pointless being able to do this stuff.
And
so.
that actually was something that I'd heard also from the different gamers, is that they were talking about that specifically in comparison to Titanfall, because Titanfall added a lot of the free running movements and so on, and it still looks like Titanfall is going to be way more frantic as far as how fast you move compared to this. It looks pretty close in this, but the big difference is Titanfall, you're always sacrificing movement for control over your gunplay.
Yeah.
And so this one, it looks like they didn't want to make that compromise. Right. They just buckled down both, like, right in the middle.
Yeah.
So that you can always be firing your gun with some amount of reliability.
Yeah, that should make things interesting, how that will... If then, going back to the different characters, like, in the trailer, they showed one... it sounded like he was, I don't know if he was like complete robot or like way closer to Cyborg, but his arm will actually like transform into a minigun or, you know, something.
Right.
And that's like that character's special weapon. And then,
and it looks like that's one of the characters in the zombies mode also. So, or at least one that functions like that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if these 9 characters were just in the zombie mode also.
It wouldn't make sense.
But yeah, and then I know there's a chick that has like a super powerful revolver or something that can...
Okay.
They said something like, if you can time it right, you can like take out a couple people with one shot, like if it, you know, goes through.
Oh, right.
But yeah, it was like you... They had you pick between, you know, some sort of special power, for lack of a better word, until, you know, they go into more detail, or this, like, special weapon.
Okay.
So, or I guess maybe ability would be more than power or something. But then that doesn't mean that, like, oh, you, like, they're getting rid of perks or whatever. So
right. They're still
going to
use a pick system, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think they're going with their original one,
the
13.
10.
I think they're doing 10. And then they're still going to do the customization of, you know, of emblems and that sort of thing that kind of Black
nice.
Ops,
yeah.
Started. But they also said that you'll be able to, like, create paint jobs for your weapons.
That'll be nice.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting seeing...
Well,
what people come up with, too.
Yeah. It makes me wonder, too, then, like, since that's kind of a something they've introduced for purchasing things, you know, like little custom packs and that sort of thing. Well, now if you can, like, make your own, if they're going to still do those, or if they're going to sell, like, here's some sketches or here's, like, you know.
No, I bet the trade is going to be that's why they made the characters. They're going to have much more DLC for characters. And
okay.
They're going to treat it like a MOBA.
That. I could see
just,
that.
And then that way it gives people a lot more customization, but it doesn't... Like, there's already been a little bit of backlash against the customization on weapons and so on. I never got it myself. I always thought that was just kind of cool to have that option.
Yeah.
And you don't have to buy any of it.
Yeah, it's not...
If anything else, it makes the game easier on you to see, like, whatever garish stuff some guy puts on their gun or whatever. Yeah. So I don't see the point in complaining about it all that much. But it is a major issue for a lot of people. But if that stuff was just outright free, that kind of takes the teeth out of that argument quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and then I could see, too, maybe them, like, selling maybe... pre-made sort of things already, you know, like if you didn't want to go into the hassle, quote unquote, of trying to construct something, like here's an already made this, you know.
Well, I'm sure they're still going to, they might have more customizations, kind of like Advanced Warfare had certain things that were outright custom pieces of, it was like the Exo. It was actually shaped differently and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling they might still do something like that. But who knows?
Yeah.
I know first chance I get, if they have the option, I want to have like some sort of big tractor trailer, like steam pipe coming out of my back. That's something that I'm going to buy if I have the option. I don't care how ridiculous it is, but... how much it doesn't fit in that universe. I don't care. I want it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see like what we gravitate towards, like character wise. You know, who we all end up picking. And I will say that, kind of as a side note, I'm very happy that our friend Kane, decided to go in on that deal I made him.
That was a heck of a coup right there.
for the audience out there who isn't familiar, a friend of mine, Kane, that we play online with, typically only gets the Infinity Ward Call of Duty games. Right.
The core games.
But,
with air quotes.
Yeah. But through a deal I made with him, he did decide to take up the offer, and he will be getting Black Ops 3. So that'll be nice to have him to play with again.
Like, yeah.
You know. To roll with it
without having to wait like 3 years in between.
Yeah. But let me do our next PSA. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes?
Yes.
But have limited time to volunteer?
Yes.
Well, San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters.
Sweet.
With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. That sounds easy. Oh, it's easy. Okay. You can just join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. I will say, too, just to kind of wrap up the Black Ops 3 talk, it's interesting that they're doing... I was wondering if a Call of Duty was going to do this again. And I can kind of see why they'd do that with this one, but they're going to have a beta, an actual beta to, you know, for people to play. I think I'm a little surprised that Advanced Warfare didn't do it, but I can see, since there's still like that kind of build of like, they, you know, these games are the same, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, even after they add a few things, you still sort of hear that argument. And I think with a beta like this, and at least what that sounds like they're trying to do, it might help sort of break that up of like, hey, you know, here's your chance to help us kind of shape it differently. Or since I assume the beta will just be like, multiplayer. I don't know if it'll be.
Yeah, it seems like it's pretty classically been like that one, maybe 1-3 map, something like that.
Because
it's funny too. They usually pick like some of their better maps for those in the first place. So it's going to be nice to get a good solid preview of the game.
Yeah. Because I think, let's see, if we kind of go back on our history, the Modern Warfare 1 or Call of Duty 4, whatever you want to call it, like there's a beta for that, and then there was a beta for World at War, right?
Right.
And then was that the last one? I don't remember there being betas for...
I think it might have been. Yeah, I don't remember one for 2.
Yeah, because it kind of had established...
But yeah, like I remember the beta for World at War was that sort of... I forget the name of it. It might have been Outright Castle, but it was like sort of a Japanese castle map.
Oh.
And it ended up being like one of the best maps in the game, like start to finish through all the DLC and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. They haven't said when the beta will be. They've said that it'll be playable at E3 this year. So it sounds... It's interesting. They're going for a more open approach with this one, it seems, than previous Call of Duties, where they've kind of kept everything really close and waited to like release stuff. Like in previous years, the only info that's ever dropped first has been campaign related stuff. It's all like they've always just done campaign related stuff, and then like okay, then we're gonna talk about multiplayer like 4 or 5 months later, like.
Yeah, I was really surprised when they mentioned when the game was coming out. Like they gave a release date. It's like it's true. We don't have a specific release date from year to year, but you know it's always going to be November for that game.
Yeah.
So when everybody like went nuts, like oh, it's going to be in November. When did you think it was going to be?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like I know there's always a busy time around that time, but yeah, it does. Typically drop in November, it seems.
Right.
So yeah.
It's between the beginning and middle of November every single time. So
yeah.
Unless something goes horribly wrong.
Which hopefully not.
Yeah. I don't think that's gonna happen this time.
Yeah. I have faith in them. It seemed it's funny that I think the Black Ops ones are the like most played ones or sold the most or something. There's some big record attached to them. Like
yeah, they seem to be the ones that have the endurance run. Like they don't seem to do as well at the very beginning, but they tend to outsell the other games by the end is the way I'd understood it before. So yeah, I have a lot of faith in Treyarch. I've been really happy with all of their games. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I look forward to finding more at E3. Since it'll be playable then, I'm sure they're going to drop more information at someone's press conference, if that's Microsoft again or if they've someone else's, you know.
Yeah, it's funny, like I... With them splitting it into the like 3-year revolver of Call of Duty, I'm sort of wondering if eventually, because there does seem to be demand for them to, at least from Treyarch, for Treyarch to get back into the World War II setting at some point.
Oh, uh-huh.
Been a lot of people yelling that they want that, but the last one did so well that there's like no way that it would have been what they did this time around, at least. But yeah, it makes me wonder if it's going to turn into like a 4-chamber revolver at some point where it ends up being Treyarch West or in Treyarch East or something like that.
that it ends up doing.
Yeah, one will be the future and one will be the past. That's my prediction for like 2 years from now, something like that.
Who knows? Who knows with that series? It's,
Yeah, and they do tend to take like smaller companies that people have kind of forgotten about and kind of resurrect them also. Like, I don't think anybody really paid attention to Raven Software in like decades, but... Here they are, like
making some maps or making stuff, or
at least in there doing something. You know, who knows what?
Yeah, who knows?
The Call of Duty people are pretty tight-lipped about exactly what people do, unless it's outright like they're just doing the networking stuff. And that's it.
Yeah. But, like, wait, no, maybe.
But usually, that's like an outright networking company to begin with. So.
True. All right, well, I don't know if there was any other stuff to go over for Geek Talk. I haven't really...
Yeah, I mean, I've watched a ton of stuff, but I don't know how much of it is, like, really current event. I just finished off Halt and Catch Fire, and I thought that was really cool.
Oh, yeah, that's a good show. All right, well, speaking of things that are current, why don't we drop some new releases?
Yes.
On the folks. So, we've got some movies in the theater this week. It's not as big, I suppose, as last week, having Avengers Age of Ultron being the right. big one. But we have Hot Pursuit. It's a by-the-book cop tries to protect the widow of a drug boss as they race through Texas pursued by crooked cops and murderous gunmen. Reese Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara are in this film.
Oh, right, right.
So that looks to be the big release for this week. We also have The D-Train. All his life, Dan Landsman, played by Jack Black, has never been the cool guy. That's about to change if he can convince Oliver Lawless, played by James Marsden, the most popular guy from his high school, who's now the face of a national banana boat ad campaign, to show up with him to their class reunion. A man on a mission, Dan travels from Pittsburgh to L.A. and spins a web of lies to recruit Lawless, but he gets more than he bargains for as the unpredictable Lawless proceeds to take over his home, career, and entire life. And then we have a film that looks like it's going to be in the theater and also on demand services. Maggie, when a deadly zombie virus sweeps the nation, a father, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, will stop at nothing to save his infected daughter, played by Abigail Breslin.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, normally we'd jump to video DVD, but we're going to go to video games this time around. If you've been hungry for something from the Warhammer 40K universe, they have something kind of interesting, a twist on normal chess. It looks like they're trying to take it a little bit farther than just it being like some sort of straight-up chess game. But it is basically Space Marines versus Orcs as little chess figures.
Oh, okay.
And it is pretty gory. It's really bloody.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's not for the faint of heart. It's not for the kiddos. But if you need use some 40K gore, this will, it looks like it will definitely sate your thirst.
Is it sort of along the lines of like that old, was it battle chess, or where like the pieces would fight?
Once? Yeah, it looks like it's, well, that's kind of the idea where the actual fights turn out, but the stuff that I had read about it like really early in its cycle made it sound like there's going to be a lot more like switching out how characters function or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know how that's all going to play out, because they still have, best I saw, like the setup phase for it, where you're choosing your army and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It still looks like they have a straight across comparison for what a king is and so on.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see exactly how it all hashes out. One of the earliest trailers for the game made it look like it was going to be some sort of like sci-fi dramatic thriller or something like that, because it was basically just this guy like with really good animation, this guy kind of going crazy talking into a monitor.
Oh, okay.
And it looked like it was somewhere along the line of Event Horizon, kind of like that.
Okay.
It looked like it was something torn straight out of that, except with the 40K moniker above it.
Oh, okay.
And that fits really well, so I was looking forward to that. So when it ended up being this, it was a little bit of a disappointment, frankly.
Wait, what?
But it's still interesting. But it's just weird having, especially with that, like it was a normal human. It didn't appear to be a space marine or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I'm not sure how that's all going to tie together, if there's going to be a bigger story mode that they figured out how to do or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
Like Imperial Guard or something. Chess.
I'm just happy that the orcs look pretty wicked, and if they have half the personality that they've put into the orcs in all of their other 40K branded games, especially the Relic ones,
yeah,
it's going to be some fun. Anyway, in other realms, we have Wolfenstein, The Old Blood, coming on the 5th
right.
To PS4 and Xbox One and PC. I hadn't understood this. This is actually going to be a standalone prequel to it. So that's kind of nice instead of just a DLC.
I think.
Right.
Yeah.
So it is directly related to it, but I've seen a lot of really good press about it, that people are really happy with the different weapons that they have in it, and I'm not sure how that actually changes between the New Order or not, since I haven't played that one, unfortunately. I feel like I should be able to call myself a Wolfenstein fan, but I really just played like the really old ones, so...
I recommend it. It's solid. Speaking of things I recommend,
yes.
You're listening to KSCU Santa Clara. I recommend that.
Okay.
You keep listening.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, as long as you're keeping listening, we also have Disney Infinity 2.0 Edition, which adds a sizable chunk of Marvel characters to the lineup. This list for PS4, Xbox One, Xbox 360, PS3, Wii U, IP, which I assume is the new shorthand for iPhone, Vita, and PC. Finally, we have a little online multiplayer game called Terra. Yes, it's been out for a little while, but they're actually getting something kind of along the lines of what we were talking about with the different characters for Black Ops 3. They're adding new character to Terra. So it's going to be the Gunner. It'll be interesting to see how they fit that into sort of a sci-fi realm thing, but... Promo footage looks kind of cool. They're definitely playing up kind of a Wild West theme for a sort of medieval sort of high fantasy setting. And it looks like they might have a little robot sidekick too, which it's going to be interesting to see how they hash that all out. But other than that, there were like 40-some releases for PC, none of them had any information on them, so I'm not going to talk about them.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I'm not just going to say a name with PC
without
knowing what it is.
Plus, then probably half of them are early access
that's true.
Like you never know.
Or a DLC drop for a game that nobody cares about.
Yeah, so suffice to say, there's plenty of stuff coming out if you want to go.
Well, mostly it threw me off because it's been like really dead for a long time. And then out of the blue, I get a giant glut of PC games just thrown right in my face. And I had to sort through all of them to find out which ones people actually have written anything about.
Yeah, like, have I heard of this?
Right.
No way.
A lot of them sound halfway familiar. I'm sure they branded them specifically for that reason.
Alrighty, and now we'll round us out with some new music. We've got California Nights by Best Coast. It's the third full-length release for the indie pop duo. It was produced by Wally Gaggle.
Wally.
Then we have Wilder Mind by Mumford & Sons. It's the third full-length studio release for the British folk rock band. It was produced by James Ford. I've heard that it has less banjo than previous Mumford & Sons, apparently.
Okay.
They wanted to go a different direction.
That'll probably open up new doors.
Yeah. The Complete Recordings by Frank Black and the Cadillacs. Oh, no, not the Cadillacs, the Catholics. Sorry.
The Cadillac Catholics?
That could be a band right there.
Cataflicks.
I think that could be a band right there. You can take that band out there that's listening. The remastered collection of all six Frank Black and the Catholics albums also features the unreleased 2000 album Sunday Sunny Mill Valley Groove Day and a disc of demos and alternative takes of songs. Painted Shut by Hopalong, originally a solo project by Francis Quinlane under the name Hopalong, Queen, and Solis. The second full-length release sees the addition of three members, a shorter name, and co-produced from John Agnello. And then finally we have Born Under Saturn by Django Django, the London-based Scottish quartet's follow-up to its Mercury-nominated debut release, was recorded in a professional studio. Like the description, this was recorded in a professional studio this time. So there you go. There's a sampling of some new releases.
That means they've just gone mainstream.
Oh, forget it then.
They don't understand the soul of it anymore.
They sold out.
Totally.
Man, because like, you know, who wants to be able to afford food and shelter and things like that, you know?
Right.
It's like,
to be able to support their loved ones.
Yeah, you should just live off the music and love, because you could totally put that in your stomach.
I do all the time. It's delicious.
It's all, well, excuse me then.
We'll just have to agree to
disagree on the Cadillac Catholics.
Right.
They can write a song about that. All right. That's going to do it for some geek talk and some new releases. We're going to take a music break and then come back with some more Robots Attack with the news. Would you like to tease the audience?
Yeah, I have a ton of robot stories this week. That's all it comes down to. You're just kind of have to be surprised by the assortment of robot stories. I'll give you this, though.
Okay.
Three of them are aerial robots.
Whoa.
And only one is grounded. So.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm intrigued. I know the audience out there is
intrigued. Impossible not to be.
I know.
Impossible.
If you're not, then maybe you're a robot.
Right. On Robots Attack, we are going to have a robot-a-thon.
Woohoo! All right, let's take that music break and then be back with more Robots Attack.
News.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. Before we get to the news, want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio? You can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website. And never be without the underground sound. And of course, a pro tip that we have is to search for KSCU and not 103.3 FM, because 103.3 FM is not specific to just KSCU. It's available to other radio stations around the world, but KSCU is specific.
There are many 103.3s, but there's only one.
One. KSCU Santa Clara. Oh, yeah. All right, let's give the news to the people.
Okay. Well, I promised you all robot stories, and I'm going to start you off firmly planted on the ground. So, some researchers in Europe have basically figured out how to create a European robotic car thieving trio.
Okay.
It's not really meant for thieving cars, but in like my personal like crime movie thoughts, that's what it's for.
Okay.
And plus, it's just sort of fun. Like I think about like cute little robots going out and stealing cars. For some reason, that's adorable for me in Europe. Here, it would be horrible. It would be nasty stuff. But in Europe, it's adorable. Anyway, the real thing is actually called AVERT. Stands for Autonomous Vehicle Emergency Recovery Tool, and it is mostly meant as a law enforcement tool for being able to remove cars that are stuck in a kind of a dangerous situation or thought of as being suspect for explosives, any sort of thing like that.
Okay.
Or they feel like they need to move the car for safety's sake. But we are going to post the story online on our Facebook and Twitter feeds, so you can check out the video of this thing in action. But just as an audio explanation for now, it's really pretty neat because it ends up being kind of a stack of these three robots that they wheel out with a separate robot. It's one of the, they put it out there with one of the normal kind of police or military recovery robots, sort of the tank tread thing with the weird little single robotic arm that you see a lot. Anyway, so this thing wheels out the advert avert system, and it kind of pricks up its little robot head and looks around and takes a scan of the entire area. And then that way it ends up having a full 3D map that it can open a couple like little doors on its side. And my phone is freaking out.
It needs the advert robot.
Right, yes. So it drops down a couple little doors on the sides, and then these other little robots come scampering out. Okay, I'm trying to make it sound cuter than it is. These these little like flat robots that look like maybe four phone books kind of attached to each other as far as size. Mm-hmm. They end up rolling out, and they look kind of neat just because they have really weird kind of... I don't know if anybody's seen this, but they have a special forklift in Japan that it actually has a wheel that has a bunch of little diagonal wheels in it that it allows it to drive the forklift straight sideways if they want it to.
Oh, okay.
By basically engaging these little diagonal wheels along with the actual central wheel.
Oh, okay.
It allows the entire thing just to roll sideways. So this has the same system built into all of these little phone books. Huh. And so it allows these little phone books to cruise underneath a car and then spread out, hug each of the wheels of a car, and then kind of compress themselves toward each other just a little bit.
Oh, okay.
So it ends up raising the car up off the ground just like an inch. But it's just perfect enough that these little guys can just scoot the car wherever they want it to go.
Oh.
It's not a fast process, but it's really unique and really cool from like a robotic geek sort of perspective. And you can totally see how it ends up being complete and total sci-fi in just a matter of two more years when they just increase the speed of these things. So yeah, I highly encourage you to check it out once you have the opportunity to get your eyes on it. But that's my tech for robots for now. What do you got, Joe?
Okay, well, I have... It being May the 4th,
right?
I figured that a Star Wars story,
Well, wait, why a Star Wars story?
Because it's May the 4th.
Oh.
Like, May the Force, but May the 4th, and it's...
I don't understand.
Like Star Wars Day.
Okay.
Apparently.
Okay.
So,
That's good.
Yes. This story... It's sort of a roundabout Star Wars story, like it's
Ruin the boot.
Apparently, according to this article, the Star Wars moisture farming tech won't save California. So, you know, if you're unfamiliar in Star Wars, Luke Skywalker's aunt and uncle work as moisture farmers on the desert planet Tatooine, extracting water from the air with technology and science. Moisture farming tech is in use on planet Earth, but while that may seem an appealing fix to water-starved California, experts say a far better creative solution may lie in leveraging other technology that reduces water use and cleans and reuses wastewater.
Oh, okay.
So,
or just doing the Shatner pipeline, right?
Yeah. Moisture farming extracts water from the atmosphere, most often by refrigerating air so that the water condenses out. Companies like Aqua Sciences and Planet's Water build and sell water from air units of all sizes that only need electricity to start capturing water from the atmosphere. There are also fog nets and research into bio-inspired technology that captures moisture from the air the way some plants do. But in the arid West, there often isn't a lot of water in the air, except in places where fog rolls inland, like San Francisco.
Right. Maybe you can put some... There's a fair amount there.
Yeah. Right now in California, The mountain snow pack was just 5% of average. Large scale moisture farming is more the stuff of dreams. Quote, "I don't think that moisture farms are important today," says Barton Buzz Thompson, director of the Stanford Woods Institute for the Environment.
He totally just named himself that.
Yeah, at Stanford University.
I've always considered myself a buzz.
I think someone said I look like Buzz Aldrin once or something. Right. And so
totally just like him.
The technology is somewhat like tidal power, he said. Interesting, but not yet viable on the large scale. Quote, "I sincerely believe that technology is part of the solution, but areas have to think about how much water is available. We need to recognize is that we're never going to have more water, so that means we are really focused on seeing if there are technologies that let us use types of water that are unavailable or use it in a more efficient, wiser fashion." To that end, Stanford University is now building a high-tech wastewater recycling plant that could be a prototype for cities everywhere. Traditional sewage treatment plants are energy intensive. They pump the sewage in and out and use aeration to break down organic compounds. So unfortunately, it doesn't look like the Star Wars moisture farms might be of use to us here in California.
You fail us again, Star Wars.
Man.
Always failing us.
But maybe someday when we find some Jawas and they like right. give us the blueprint.
Jawas are chock full of moisture. We just need to hunt them. Oh,
that's, well, you know, it's possible.
They're like little miniature camels.
I mean, they survive out there in the deserts of Tatooine, so they must be made of moisture.
Right. They're bigger on the inside
yeah.
with moisture. Okay, yet another robot story.
What?
Perhaps you have heard of a little robot called the Roomba?
Yes.
Yes.
Vacuum cleaning robot,
yes.
right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, it's kind of a big deal just because, I mean, you think about it, it's the first really useful home robot that people are using on a fairly large scale.
Yeah, yeah, pretty commercially successful.
Yeah, you can't say that about too many other robots. They're usually relegated to toys or like special
yeah.
types of things, but this is like an actual worker.
Okay.
And how it's been sort of adopted into the house is no small feat either. So when the co-designer of the original Roomba branches off and starts her own company called Sci-Fi, spelled C-Y-P-H-Y, Level 1.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why they added Level 1. Oh, okay. Yes, the Level 1 is the name of this new product.
Okay.
Anyway, so at cursory glance, you're going to look at it and say to yourself, that's just another little quad rotor robot.
Mm.
Everybody's making those.
Yeah.
But this one does seem like it might capture people's hearts a little bit easier for a couple of reasons. They're putting a lot more effort into making it so it's completely cell phone piloted device,
number one.
So it makes it.
People have those.
Yeah, a fair number of people, especially people with Roombas, I'm assuming. So, yeah, number one, that makes it more of a user winner. So adding to that they're going to have the camera streaming also through the same device.
Okay.
That's like another bonus. And then you add to that the obvious fact that this is somebody who's used to making robots like likable in a weird sort of way. And then the final like nail in the coffin, that's like probably the wrong way to put it, the final perk totally opposite of a nail in the
yeah.
coffin.
One is dying, one is
right. Anyway, is that most of these quadcopters or helicopters, whatever type of flying thing it is, they have a pretty unique problem in that when they're trying to fly wherever they're going, they're actually kind of tilting different directions in order to achieve that. So this design allows them to do all of the normal movements through your cell phone and be able to control a camera without any tilt whatsoever. So it allows you to actually have a lot more control over exactly what your camera is seeing it and how it's seeing it at any given point. And it gives you a lot better control if you end up adapting it to do other things in the future. So for now, it's just camera controlled by a cell phone, but think about time in the recent past when you were looking at the Roomba and thinking, ah, who's ever going to do that?
Well,
have those things roved around your house. Now a lot of people do. So
it's true. The next thing, who knows too, maybe the next thing will be you'll be controlling it with your watch. Or your
That's true. That's true. If Apple has its way. But yes, this is all in no small part to the designer named Helen Grainer. So I take this opportunity to celebrate her. Nice. A robotic visionary.
Ooh, nice. Well, my next story doesn't really involve visionaries, but...
What about vision?
Lack
of vision.
You do need vision to see this.
Okay. I think we're we're ready to go then.
Apparently, I had not heard
Segue,
this.
Roll out.
Yeah. I had not heard this. Actually, you know what I should probably do? Well, you know what? I'll do this story first, then I'll do our last PSA.
If you promise.
I'll do my best.
Okay.
Hopefully I don't forget. Apparently, at the end of March... Stephen Amell, the star of Arrow, was reported to be cast as Casey Jones in the upcoming Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles sequel.
Oh, sweet.
I had no idea about that. Now we have confirmation of that. This comes from Michael Bay, who isn't the flick's director, but is the producer.
Right, right.
They've released an image of him with the hockey mask on, holding a hockey stick.
I want to see it.
The image comes, like I said, from Michael Bay. The mask style seems to faithfully, kind of capture the original design of the cartoon. But in the image, he's not like he doesn't have a golf bag full of weapons,
right?
But he does have like a hockey stick.
Okay.
And apparently, Amell beat out 6 other actors for the role. They don't have a title yet for the sequel.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's just going to be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 or if they're going to have colon something.
Secret Even more movies. Ooze.
Yeah. It's supposed to drop in 2016. And I'd also heard Laura Linney, I think, joined the cast too.
I heard that too. That was interesting to me.
But yeah, here's, I'll show you.
Oh, so okay. Well, it's kind of cool.
But yeah, when I heard, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, he'd be cool as Casey Jones.
Yeah.
That would work. He's
Yeah, it's still so weird, like, going back and watching the original movie that had Casey Jones in it and seeing the actor that they had as Casey Jones. Like, you see him now in anything, and it's yeah. like being like, really, what? That guy was Casey Jones? But at the time, he was a really good Casey Jones.
Yeah.
I thought he did a really good job.
But yeah, you're like, wait, that guy?
Right, yeah. If you compare him now, it's like...
Like Mr. Drama...
Right, on TBS. Yeah, Mr. TBS. Okay.
This is how I can segue into
the
PSA. See, that story was about Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
Well, if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. Through help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. You don't know if they have turtles. They're probably not teenage nor mutant, but...
Maybe some of them are teenage.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
That's probably long-lived, the more likely
but yeah,
possibility.
Not
then.
So much.
Yeah.
Maybe they're missing a toe or something like that. But samurai sword wielding, probably not so much.
Yeah, no. Probably not so much.
Oh, well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah.
Well, I guess 3 out of 4, because they are turtles. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so honeybees. What do honeybees have to do with quadcopters?
Both fly?
That is true. That okay. might be why they are using honeybee brains.
Wait, what?
Honeybee brains are officially piloting quadcopters. But not just any honeybee brains. Human-made honeybee brains. I can't even fathom how they
what?
Do that. And there's nothing in the story that says the how of how they do that. But this is apparently a thing. Human-made honeybee brains are piloting quadcopters. I get the piloting quadcopters.
Yeah, but...
And because I've seen them, like, do some really weird things where they have remote control roaches and stuff like that. That makes sense to me because I've seen it. But how do you craft a honeybee brain? What sort do you need? Specialty tweezers? Is there a 3D printer that does it?
Yeah.
I need to put some more research into that part because the original writers of the story were lacking in their detail. In that very important area that I thought was easily the bigger story out of all of this. But still, this is an actual thing. I was false in one way. They have just replicated the movement center of the honeybee brain at this point. But they have high hopes that they will have completely fabricated a full honeybee brain.
Oh, okay.
In the near future.
Huh.
Maybe not near future, but in the future.
But in the future.
But still, I mean, even if you can just fabricate the motor control, that's pretty interesting. Anyway, so they've effectively wired up one of these quadcopter things. They're all the rage. Everybody has them.
Mm.
They're probably parked in your garage right now. At least 14 of them.
At least.
Right. Probably minus honeybee brains, but
yeah.
Give it some time. You'll be able to buy them in battery packs. Just pop in a honeybee brain battery. Anyway, maybe not, but they did effectively figure out how to just wire up the artificial honeybee brain, namely the movement center of it, directly to a video camera and a quadcopter to allow it to fly down a corridor in the same way a trained honeybee would. And that also creates more questions. I don't know who's training these honeybees in the first place that they're comparing this to. But apparently it is possible to, number one, create a honeybee brain, even if it's a fraction of it, and wire it up to a video camera... And then on top of that, wire it up to a quadcopter and have it function in some meaningful way. To me, it's too much sci-fi all in one place. I feel like I should question the story, but it's so awesome that I don't want to.
Yeah. This is like, did they stumble? Like, is this the plot for Ant-Man 2 or something? Like,
I don't know. Maybe Ant-Man, like, triumphantly, like... scooped out just the motor cortex of a honeybee's brain with his hands and then generated himself to normal size.
Yeah.
And then it was difficult finding it, but he knew it was on his hand someplace.
It's there. I know it's there.
Right. Crack out the microscope. So, yeah. It's a crazy world we're living in right now is what I'm trying to say with this story.
Well, my story is about a beetle that doesn't get a lot of respect, I don't think.
Okay. Well, there you go.
The question is raised, how do starry-eyed dung beetles get around during the day?
Oh, I would say I've often wondered that. I haven't. But it's something that I now wonder about, now that I've been wondered.
As much as we love GPS, everyone has a story of digital directions gone wrong.
That's true.
Comedian Ross Noble once told a story about driving across Australia's Nullar Arbor plane. Caleb were here, he'd know.
Yeah. I have one. I was just recently told by Google to go to a popular local egg roll establishment because that was apparently my friend's home.
Oh.
Completely wrong.
Huh.
I asked it 3 times. It told me the exact same thing.
No, this is where you need
to go. It was... I don't know how much that popular egg roll establishment had to pay for that advertisement, effectively. That wrong number advertisement.
Yeah.
But eventually it all worked out.
Well, his little story, drive forward for 2 days, then turn left. But in the end, the road was so long that without further prompting, he missed the turn. If only we had a dung beetle's knack for navigation. In 2013, National Geographic reported on a study in the journal Current Biology showing that African dung beetles were able to navigate using the Milky Way. That's right. Using the Milky Way to orient themselves. The only animal species known to show this ability. The beetles' Star Trek prompted commentator J.T. Bean in Rhode Island to ask our weird animal question of the week, which this story is from National Geographic. How do dung beetles navigate in Alaska in summer when the sky is never dark and the Milky Way can't be seen?
Oh, okay.
So there you go. He's trying to throw it in like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What about Alaska?
Gotcha journalism.
Eric Warrant, a biologist in the University of Lund, Sweden, and co-author of the study, said via email that there are indeed dung beetles at such latitudes, but they are a different species than the ones that roll balls of dung.
Oh, okay.
Which, again... underappreciated beetle. That's important. That is important.
Well, now I'm wondering if maybe a part of the reason why they roll the ball of dung, other than all of the other really great reasons, is that they're trying to recreate our universe in some meaningful way.
Yeah, I can just picture the 2001 as they're all rolling all the balls together.
A little Katamari thrown in there.
Yeah. If the ball-rolling beetles did live that far north, Warren says, they would probably be active during the day and would use other cues such as the pattern of celestial polarized light. Celestial polarized light produces a fixed, compass-like pattern in the sky, but not visible to us, but evident to beetles and other insects. It comes from the scattering of light in the atmosphere around the sun or the moon, Warren says. There is also a pattern around the moon at night by which nocturnal beetles can navigate, though it's a million times dimmer. I thought that was like interesting that they used the Milky Way. Some other parts. Dung beetles all are particular. They are in particular in that they shun landmarks used by other insects to find their way. Moths, for example, orient themselves to the moon at night, but will use the physical landscape to navigate by day. Beetles, however, won't take a left at the red barn or the tree stump. They're focused on the sky. They're focused on the bigger things, not these small things.
They might be in the gutter, but they're always staring at the sky.
Yeah.
Or they might be rolling stuff from the gutter. I don't know.
It's possible. A study co-authored by Warren in 2012 says that beetles will lose their straight-line navigation abilities under overcast conditions or if they can't see the sky.
Okay.
Yet their steering isn't affected by alternating landmarks. So, again, they use the sky.
Okay.
And space.
Okay. Well, I'll try and squeeze one last really quick story in here.
Okay, sounds good.
The title of the story is Krylon-Wielding Katsucopter.
Whoa.
Yeah. If you're familiar with katsu, you're probably wondering why, like, deep-fried pork cutlets are flying a helicopter. But no, that is actually a person's name. There's actually an artist in Japan, a street artist named Akatsu, that he's become kind of a big deal lately just because he's started using, again, quadcopters.
Okay,
in his art stylings.
All right.
And so he basically rigged up a quadcopter to carry spray paint. And last year he ended up doing an entire show where it was nothing but art pieces that were done by him flying around this quadcopter and like spraying art pieces.
Now, okay.
It's nothing like super incredible. It's not like the Mona Lisa or anything like that. It's definitely like some form of impressionism or something akin to that. But it is definitely interesting. Well, he's apparently taken his art a step farther in a direction that New Yorkers are not happy with, namely New Yorkers who buy very expensive signs in very high-priced areas in New York. He recently used one of his quadcopters to scrawl a bunch of spray paint over the face of a supermodel on a Calvin Klein ad in New York City on Lafayette and Houston Street.
Okay.
So, yeah, these are billboards that run in, like, the millions of dollars.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I can see.
People with money are not happy with him right now, and he is apparently planning more of these undertakings. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he breeds a race of Katsu copycats. Or if this will be the end of the Katsu copter.
Oh, man. It'll never die. Someone else will take over, like you said.
Right. It'll be like Batman. Generational, legendary.
Someone will take his place.
Of course, yeah.
But then if that someone takes over and does a bad job, will he get mad because they'll think it's him or something? Or will he then have to come out of the shadows?
He'll be forced to reclaim his Katsu crown.
Well, if we find out more, we'll definitely let you know.
Right. Bring you the hard-hitting stories.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for Robots Attack tonight here on KSU Santa Clara. 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. Coming up next is some wonderful music, so stick around, and we will be back next Monday from 7 to 9. Have a wonderful rest of the week and weekend. Peace out, everybody.
Raccoon, Veronica, Misto.